非常高兴再次来到 Santa Barbara 华伦学院播道会，然后跟弟兄姊妹一同来敬拜神。
I'm really glad to come back to the Chinese Santa Barbara Chinese Evangelical Church to worship God with brothers and sisters.
昨天晚上见到很多的新朋友。
I've met a couple of new friends last night.
享受了在主里的爱。
And I've experienced the love coming from the God.
特别是美味的大餐。
Especially the delicious food.
我真是越吃越感恩了。
I was becoming more thankful as I was eating.
在无偿得到弟兄姊妹的爱的时候，我们一般会说感谢的话。
While receiving the love coming from brothers and sisters, we always say thank you.
但其实我们从主耶稣那里得到了很多用钱都买不来的爱。
But we got a lot of love from Jesus Christ that we cannot buy with money.
很多的恩典，比如空气、阳光、水、时间和生命等等。
A lot of graces like sunshine, air, water, time, and life.
问题是我们该怎么表达感谢呢？
The question is how we express our thanks.
我想最好的表达方式之一就是好好的管理好神赐给我们的这一切。
I think one of the best ways would be to manage well the things that God has given us.
今天我们一起读的这个经文，让我们从这个经文里面来学习如何管理钱财、才干、时间和生命。
The scriptures we read today teach us how to manage money, ability, time, and life.
其实路加福音十六章一到十三节是一个很令人困惑的经文。
Actually, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, 1 to 13, verses 1 to 13, is a really confusing scripture.
有人就用这节经文写论文，得了神学博士学位。
Someone uses this scripture to write paper to get a certificate for a PhD.
可见要把这个经文里面的问题要解开真的是很困难。
So we can see it's really difficult to unravel all the confusions in this scripture.
在人们众多的这些困惑的当中呢，人家最不解的是什么？就是这个管家因着这个主人呢，因着这个管家亏了一大笔钱，他不但不生气，他反而什么呢？反而夸奖这个管家聪明呢。
The most confusing things would be the master praised the manager instead of blaming him for losing the money.
那是什么原因呢？他为什么夸奖这个管家呢？
Why does the master praise the manager?
那在他的后面就是第九节经文，刚才我们读的，耶稣就好像是在夸奖他，还夸奖说今世之子比永生之子在很多事情上都比永生之子更聪明。
In verse 9, Jesus was saying that the people of the world are smarter in dealing with their own kind than people of the light.
那这个管家的聪明之处在哪里呢？
So why does he say that the manager is smart?
请问大家他什么事情上聪明？
Why is he smart?
猜一猜。
Take a guess.
我知道哪一位弟兄，年轻点的弟兄来回答好吗？
I want a younger brother to answer this question.
OK. How about David?
How about David?
说不定你猜中了。让欠钱的人怎么少还钱？close， 接近了。不过因为你没有答得准确，可能得不到 PhD 了。我说神学的 PhD 啊，因为刚才有人就因为把这个问题解答了，他拿了PhD 嘛。但是你至少可以拿个 Master 神学的，因为接近了。其实 我们看到，等一下我们就来揭晓这个问题的答案。
We'll review the answer to this question later.
那首先我想跟大家分享的是什么呢？就是I forgot the controller. 是不是没打开？开过了是吗 ？OK。首先，我想跟大家分享的就是，其实这个管家是有长远的眼光，有这个有长远眼光的这个智慧。
First, I want to share that the manager has a wisdom for long-term visions.
他的智慧的聪明之处在哪里呢？聪明之处第一。
His wisdom was shown in.
他能够。他虽然他可能没有从这个UCSB 的管理系毕业，但是他会用那个 SWOT 分析。
Even though he might not graduate from the managing major from UCSB,
你看他怎么分析的？
He analyzes using the SWOT analysis.
他的优势是什么呢
？His advantages are.
首先是他有前瞻性的思想，他能够为将来打算。
He has a long-term vision and knows how to plan for the future.
还有就是说他好像没有太多的监督，所以他比较有很多的自由度。
And he doesn't seem to have a lot of supervision above him.
那他的机会是什么呢
？So what are his opportunities?
他的机会是，这个管家虽然要被炒鱿鱼了，但是主人竟然还给他一次机会要清理账务。
Even though he was about to get fired, the master still gave him the last chance to clear the account with permission.
那他的弱点，他的劣势是什么呢？
How about his weaknesses?
他要去干力气活，他说我锄地无力。
He's not a physically capable worker.
有点像我。
Just kind of like me.
还有呢，去讨饭呢，他拉不下面子。
And he was ashamed to go to beg.
我们大家都拉不下面子，是不是？
A lot of us will be ashamed to do that.
所以这个好像是众人的劣势了。但是他的面临的威胁是什么呢？
How about his threats?
首先，他失去了他的老板的这个信任。
He lost the trust from his boss.
他要失去工作了。
And he's on the edge of losing his job.
然后呢，他面临生存的危机。
He was also facing the survival crisis.
所以这是我从经文里面归纳出来，他很善于分析这些，他自己的处境。
So this is what I summarized from the scripture.
所以我觉得他有点像 SWOT 分析的始祖哎。
So he was kind of like the master of SWOT analysis.
那这是他的第一个聪明之处，那第二个聪明之处是什么呢？
So how about his second point of wisdom?
第二个是他做出了英明的决断，然后付诸实施。
He made a good decision and planned to take that into action.
请问他采取了什么行动
？What actions did he take?
刚才我们读了圣经嘛，是吧
？We read from the scripture.
请问他采取什么行动
？What action did he do?
这位弟兄好不好？第一个。
This brother.
穿成那个什么绛红色衣服的，是吧？是不是？我没说错。请问你叫什么名字
？What's your name?
宣扬哦，很好，宣扬福音是不是？很好的名字。那请问他采取了什么行动
？What actions did he take？
嗯哼，所以他，因为他有最后的机会要清账务，是不是
？Because he got the last chance to clear.
然后他又没有什么监督
，and he doesn't have any supervision.
所以啊，他采取一个很重要的行动，就是什么呢？
So he take the important action to
把那些欠他主人债的那些欠债人的欠条拿出来
and to grab all the bills from the debtors
然后把那些欠债人叫过来
and got the money from the debtors
yeah got the debtors come to him
come to him
yeah so 以这样的话他们就什么呢
and so what happens next
然后要他们重写借条
And to let them rewrite the bills.
欠了一百篓油啊。
They owned 100.
减半，只写50。
They cut it into half and put 50.
那个欠债人就怎么？感激涕零。
Would be really thankful.
欠一百担麦子呢，就只写八十。
So if they own a hundred bushels of wheat, they were only write 800.
所以把旧剑条呢撕掉。
So they just tear off the bills.
而且欠债人那个新借条就很高兴了，是不是？
And the debtors will be really happy.
这样他被炒鱿鱼之后，他有一段时间就有吃饭的地方了。
So after he got fired, he got some place to eat afterwards.
真的聪明啊！
It's really smart.
能够做决定而且付诸行动。
Make the decision and to take that into action.
为自己将来打算。
And to plan for his future.
所以耶稣那个主人不得不佩服他聪明。
So the manager was really praising him for his wisdom.
耶稣就有一个第九节就有一个总结。
And Jesus made a conclusion in verse 9.
然后其实是九到十二节，他用了三个比喻来说明我们应该怎么样来三个的对比啊，来说明应该怎么样我们作为基督徒应该有长远的眼光。
So from Jesus made three metaphors from verses 9 to 12 to tell us that as Christian we need to have long-term visions.
在第十节他讲什么呢？
In verses 10.
第十节他说，你们在大事上聪明，在最小的事上忠心，在大事上才能忠心。
Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much.
所以是最小的事跟大事来对比。
So the comparison between the little and much.
第十一节呢，他就把不义的钱财和这个真实的钱财来对比。
In verse 11, he compared between the worldly wealth and the true riches.
我们大家一起来读一下这个经文好吗？
Let's read the verse together.
Verse 11. 如果你用手中是英文圣经，你就读英文；如果是中文圣经，你就读中文好吗？
Read whatever language you prefer.
一二起，众人正在听见这些话的时候，我读错了一个地方，对不起。我怎么翻到十九章去了？十一节，倘若你们在不义的钱财上不忠心，谁还把真实的钱财托付给你们呢？哎，读这一个经文的时候，我们会不会产生问题啊
？Reading this first, will we have any questions?
请问有人？读了这段经文之后，头脑中产生一个什么样的问题都没有
？Are there anyone who has a question after reading？
请问有什么问题
？Anyone？
哦，这是很好的问题。那还有别的问题没有
？Other questions？
对，不义的钱财，因为我们平常所受的教导中都说钱财是什么？是中性的，是不是？怎么在这里耶稣说不义的钱财呢
？From what we learned before, we learned that money is neither bad or good. But here, Jesus is saying that the money are worldly wealth.
那如果你们去查这个现代中文译本的圣经呢？那你的翻译是今生的钱财。
But if you look at another translation, it says that it's money from this life.
Yeah, the modern Chinese language Bible. 他是说是今生的钱财。那第三个对比就是说，我们来一起来读十二节。倘若你们在别人的东西上不忠心，谁还把你们自己的东西给你们呢？那读了这节经文，可能我们头脑中又会产生问题。这就是为什么别人拿 PhD 的原因，因为这个经文里面还有很多的问题。
After reading this verse, we will also raise many questions.
请问有什么问题？
What questions can we ask?
比如说逻辑学上是不是跟我们平常的逻辑不一致？
Is that different from our logic?
我看到有位弟兄点头。请问不一致在哪里？
What's the difference?
不要害羞嘛，就低下头干什么？对啊， 圣经以前都是说嘛，你如果不管好自己的家，你怎么来管教会呢？
The Bible used to say that if you cannot manage your home well, how can you manage the church?
你自己都管理不好，你怎么来再去管别人？
How can you to manage others if you cannot even manage yourself?
所以这个好像跟通常的逻辑好像有点反了过来。
So this is different from on the logic that we have before.
为什么耶稣讲话好像很不一般呢？
Why is Jesus saying in a very different way?
这是因为其实你读圣经呢，很多的经文都会给你这个感觉。
Because if you read the Bible, many verses will give you the same thoughts.
比如说约翰福音有一个地方说那个有几个门徒就来到耶稣的面前，耶稣问他们说，你为什么你来找我要什么东西？
For example, in the Gospel of John, and a lot of disciples come before Jesus, and Jesus asked them, "What do you want?"
结果他们的回答是说，拉比，你住在哪里？
And the answer was, "Rabbi, where do you live?"
所以前后好像什么呢？有点像不合逻辑，好像那个门徒简直好像被脑袋被打了一棒。
It sounds like it's really not logical in the context.
在我们那个湖南的家乡话说，这是绊到脑壳，就是脑袋摔伤了。
And the dialogue in Hunan, it was like, you're not conscious enough.
So 这样子的话呢，我们在读圣经的时候，要读到这样的地方，其实我们要反复思想。
So we need to think a lot when we're reading into a verses like this.
那这里呢，耶稣说这个话的原因是什么呢？
Why does Jesus say something like this?
是因为他说话就是好像跟一般的逻辑不同，是因为他脑袋里面呢，他的那个概念是属于天国的价值观。
Such disparity happened because Jesus has the values from the heavenly kingdom that's different from the values of today.
耶稣脑袋里面的那个世界观也是跟我们不一样的，跟平常人不一样。
The worldly value in Jesus Christ's mind is different than some people in this world.
他是用天国的价值观和世界观来讲这个事情。
He's using the values of the heavenly kingdom to say this thing.
所以在耶稣的这个思想里面，
So in Jesus' thinking,
那个钱财是别人的东西。
The money is from others.
是今世的东西。
It's from this life.
然后呢，有些东西是你自己的。
Then something belongs to you.
什么呢？就是永生。
Such as the eternal life.
还有你在天上所积存的财宝。
And the wealth that you stored up for the heaven.
那些东西就能够存到，就能够属于你直到永远。
Those things will belong to you till forever.
所以金钱还有名利这些东西呢，是属于今生的。
So money and fame only belongs to this life.
约翰一书说特别总结了三样，说今生的就是骄傲，还有什么眼目的情欲，还有什么肉体的私欲，还有什么这些都是都要过去，唯有神的旨意永远长存。
So in the Gospel of John, it was cited that money, material, sinful nature and pride in this world will all be gone, and only the will of God will exist eternally.
Amen. 我想对现代就是00后的大学生来说，现在是10后的大学生来说，可能跟你们讲天国的价值观，你们觉得有点像空中楼阁，不接地气，不实际。
I feel like talking to college students born after the 2000, you may feel like the values from heavenly kingdom is kind of like inauthentic and unreal.
那为了说明这个，我跟大家讲一个哲学家他的头脑里面的概念，他的世界观。
So in order to explain this, I want to share with you a philosophical idea from Plato.
我想请大家猜一猜，这会是哪个哲学家的思想？
I want you to guess who of this philosopher will be.
我跟 UCSB 的同学出出考题。
I want to test you, students from UCSB.
请问谁猜出来了？
Who can guess this?
好好想一想，这是一个什么东西？
Think carefully. What's this?
嗯哼，你看，那里有一堵墙，墙那边有几个人，是不是？
There's a wall and there are.
然后他们看到墙上有一些东西。
They're looking at the things that reflected on the wall.
墙的后面呢，有个光源。
There's a light source after the wall.
请问这是哪个哲学家的思想？
Whose idea is this belongs to?
请问是谁
？Anyone?
啊，让我们 UCSB 的同学要多看点书。
UCSB students need to read more books.
除了专业书籍之外，最好能够，如果你学理工科的，最好再多看点文科一些培养自己的素质那方面的书。
Especially some books that can develop your philosophical ideas.
柏拉图听说过吗
？Did you guys hear about Plato?
啊，想起来了，这个叫什么理论呢
？Who's what idea is this?
这个叫黑洞理论。
This is the allergy of the.
不是那个霍金的那个黑洞，天文学上的黑洞。
It's not the one talking about in astrology.
他对今生对这个世界的看法是什么呢
？What is Plato's idea in this life?
他的看法是，我们人呢，在这个世界上看事物啊，其实就像那个黑洞里面被捆绑的那些囚犯一样，他们看到的只是真实的物体的投影。
How we look at things in life is kind of like the prisoners living behind the wall. They're only seeing the reflections reflected on the wall, not the real thing.
所以在他的那个哲学思想里面，对今生的看法，说今生是虚无的。
So in his philosophical ideas, he thinks that this life is not real.
不真实的。所以呢
？So.
洞外的世界，你看洞外有人是不是
？The world outside the cave, there's a person outside the cave.
他认为洞外有一个真实的世界，就是在今这个世界之外有一个真实的世界。
He thinks that aside from the this life, there's a more real life outside the cave.
真实的世界是什么？他不知道。
But he doesn't know what the real life is.
但是你知道吗？他怎么死的
？But how did he die?
就是他因为。传播他的哲学思想跟传统的希腊哲学的思想那些神鬼思想不一致，所以就被人审判，然后要判他死刑，但是他不逃跑。
He died because his philosophical ideas was different from the Greek traditional theologies, and so they want to execute him, but he did not run away.
因为他觉得死亡就是进入了一个真实的世界。
Because he thinks that a death means to go into that real world.
所以他视死如归。
And so he views death as coming back to life.
哎呀，你翻译得很好哎！这成语都能够翻译这么好，很不错。那这样子的话呢
？So in this way.
所以他面对死亡，他不逃跑，然后。我举这个例子，意思就是说，对于一个不信神的哲学家，他竟然知道有一个更真实的世界，这个世界是短暂的。
So I'm saying this because a person who does not believe in God believes that this life is short and there's another life out there.
那为什么我们现在的基督徒，我们的大学生，反而还认为好像如果谈天国的价值观，那在耶稣的眼中，真实的世界为什么还是虚无的
？So why? Because many college students think that in Jesus' view, the heavenly kingdom is not real.
所以啊，我想啊，首先在逻辑上我们就通不过去。
So I feel like we cannot exceed the exam of logic.
其次我们还有其他的见证人呢，圣经上说我们有见证人如同云彩围绕我们。
So in Bible it was like we have testimonies surrounding us, like air. It's everywhere.
Like clouds.
Yeah, clouds.
所以这样子的话呢?
So in this way.
我们神还应许我们说，他要永远与我们同在，我们可以经历天国的真实。
God has promised us that He will always be with us, and we can experience the trueness of heaven.
我不知道你们，我想你们应该经历过这个真实，我也经历过。
I think you have all experienced this trueness.
我们的生活中经历过神是又真又活的神。
The God that we experience in our life is really lively and real.
天国是真实的。
Heaven is real.
是永恒的。
And it's eternal.
反而我们生活的这个世界。 它只是短暂的
But the world we're living in today are short
不过圣经的世界观跟柏拉图的世界观还是不一样的 有本质区别
But the values in the Bible are different from Plato's values
圣经不会轻看我们的今生和肉体
The Bible will not ignore this life and our physical body
圣经说我们的今生是短暂的 但是有很重要的使命
The Bible says that this life is short, but we have a great amount of missions to complete.
我们的身体呢，是圣灵的殿。
Our body is the sanctuary of a spirit.
不像希腊的一些哲学家，他说身体是邪恶的。
Not like some theologists in the Greek philosophy.
不像柏拉图认为，好像这个世界是。
Not like Plato to believe that this world is completely unreal.
我们的见证人很多，比如说圣经中间的十二使徒，十二使徒。
Our testimonies included the 12 disciples in the Bible.
比如说，这十二使徒中间有十一个使徒都是殉道而死的。
11 among these 12 disciples died for Christ.
他们为什么愿意把生命，为了传福音，为了拓展神的国度，把生命都献上呢？
Why are they willing to sacrifice their life to spread the gospel?
因为他知道，这个世界虽然宝贵，虽然美好，但是将来的世界是更美好的，是更真实的，是存到永远的。
Because they know that even though this life is beautiful, the real life that comes after this life is more real and it will be eternal.
所以他们能够很好地使用他们的生命、他们的时间。
So they can manage their life and time wisely.
管理好他们的生命。
To manage their life.
当然还有很多，就好像比如说，在历史上，有名的这个。 剑桥七杰，大家听说过吗？
There are also a Cambridge Seven in the history. Have you guys ever heard about him? Them?
他们是19世纪到参加中国内地会到中国宣教的宣教士。
They went to do missionary work in China during the 19th century.
他们那个时候就是著名的剑桥大学的高材生呢。
They were the famous Cambridge graduates back then.
应该跟 UCSB 差不多吧。
It would be similar to UCSB students.
但是他们不留在英国享受。
But they don't spend their life having fun in Britain.
到中国那个贫穷落后的地方，满街是脏污的地方去传福音。
Instead, they went to the poor and messy area in China to spread the gospel.
有些人甚至在中国殉道。
Some of them even died in China, spreading the gospel.
这里我想跟大家分享，就是他们剑桥七杰之一的叫何士德的，他的在那个英国的宣教欢送会上说的话。
I want to share a word that was spoken by Charles Studd in a farewell party held in Britain.
他在会上说：“你们是为今生而活，还是为永生而活？”
He said that, "Are you living for the day, or are you living for the life eternal?"
你们注重世人的看法，还是神的看法？
Are you going to care for the opinion of man here, or for the opinion of God?
有一天，我们会来到审判台前， 到那个时候，人的看法对我们无足轻重。
I will come before God for one day, and at that time, the opinions of people will not matter anymore.
那个时候，神对我们的看法才能够存到永远。
But the opinion of God will.
既然这样的话，那么我们岂不是应该接受他的话语，单单的仰望他呢？
Had we not, then better take His word and implicitly obey it.
这个何士德后来成，就是接了这个戴德生，成为内地会的会长。
And this Charles Studd became the chairman of the
China Inland Mission.
China Inland Mission.
那这样子的话呢，这一段话可以反映他当时的那个世界观，他的价值观，他如何来为他的那个叫做人生做计划。
These words reflect his ideas about how to manage and his life and time and how to plan for his future.
所以他放弃舒适的生活，到这个中国的穷乡僻壤传福音。
So he gives up the comfort life in Britain and went to the poor areas in China to spread gospel.
这样的话，他们在中国结下了千千万万果子。
As a result, they've gained thousands of followers in China.
成为中国教会这个根基啊。
Becoming the foundation of the Chinese churches.
所以，我们看到原来我们基督徒其实也有很多的见证人，他拥有这个比那个不义的管家更长远的这个眼光。
So we can see that some Christians has even more longer visions than the shred manager.
能够很好的管理他的人生。
Knows how to manage their lives.
他的钱财，他的才干。
Their property and abilities.
所以，我们也应该好好思想来管理好我们的钱财、才干和我们的时间、我们的生命。
So we should also learn to manage our time, ability, and our life.
所以这个基础就是我们先要建立起天国的世界观和价值观。
So the first step will be we should establish the values from the heavenly kingdom.
然后其次呢，就要学习这个不义的管家能够做正确的决定，并且付诸行动。
And secondly, we should learn from the shred manager to make the good decision and to put that into action.
耶稣最后在第十三节做了一个总结，我们一起来读十三节好吗？
Jesus concluded in verse 13. Let's read it together.
一二七。请问马门是什么？
What is money?
马门就英文就是圣经就是钱是吧？所以我们都知道，但是你觉得可能这个又不实际了。
But you might think that this is not authentic.
你说，我明明有两个主嘛，两个 boss 嘛。
You're saying that I have two bosses.
虽然钱财可以不做我的主，但是你看我在公司我有经理啊，有总经理啊。
Even though the money does not have to be my boss, but I have managers and supervisors above me in the company.
到了教会，我头上有组长，有长老，有牧师。
In church, I have
deacon, group leader.
Group leaders and also pastors above me.
所以，我们每个人都好像有两个组啊。
So we seem to have two bosses for everyone.
这个好像耶稣说不能侍奉两个主，好像有点不切实际。
It seems like it's kind of unrealistic for Jesus to say that you cannot serve two masters.
运气不好的人还会碰到这样的老板。
Unfortunately, people with bad luck will meet some bosses like this.
郁闷得很。
It will be really frustrated.
但是耶稣教给我们的原则是什么？我们一起来读这节经文。这个是在哥罗西书。对不起，我写。这个不是原则， 圣经里有一个原则，我们一起来读一二七。
Let's read it together. 无论做什么，都要从心里做，像是给主做的，不是给人做的。
所以，圣经就是给我们解决了这个两个 boss 的这个难题。
So the Bible solved the problem of two bosses for us.
就是耶稣对我们的要求，只能有一个主，怎么解决这个问题呢
？Jesus says that we can only have one master. So how can we solve this problem?
就是这里提供我们答案。
And this verse offers us the answer.
它的意思是什么呢
？What does it mean?
就是说我们在学校顺服我们的老师。
It means that when we're at school, we do good for our teachers.
我们要写作业。
We do our homework.
我们在公司要为老板干活。
We work for the boss and the firms.
在教会参与服事。
We participate in serving the Lord in churches.
我们不要以为是为我们地上的老板来服事。
We don't feel like we're working this for the bosses we have in this life.
不要以为老板到了面前的时候我就很认真了。
Don't pretend to be really hardworking when the boss comes before.
但是老板一走。
But when the bosses turn away.
我就猴子成了霸王了。
I will go away and have fun.
所以耶稣的教导是什么呢
So what's the teaching from Jesus?
耶稣教导说老师不在。
Jesus is saying that if the teachers are not here,
我们的总经理不在。
The managers are not here.
长老不在。
And the pastors,
牧师不在。
Pastors are not.
我们就好像做这些工作都像是在服侍神，在服侍主一样的做。
We're doing this with all our hearts as working for the Lord.
所以做学生的老师不在我也可以认真完成作业。
So students need to do their homework even if the teachers are not present.
做秘书的老板不在我也要好好的做好我的手中的工作。
So secretaries don't need to get their work done even if the bosses are not there.
这样的话你心里就有了一个很正确的心态。
In this way you will have a good attitude.
保证你以后到公司你会讨老板的喜欢。
And to make sure that you can get the likings from your boss when you go to a firms.
绝对能够成功。
You can be really successful.
所以你因为你只有一个老板是不是
Because you only have one boss.
其实是上帝赐给了你一个很特别的智慧。
And God has provided you with a really special wisdom.
所以在这种情况下我们以前经常听到一个叫做代职侍奉。
So under the circumstances, we've always heard about the phrase of
serve the Lord when we are at the same time we are in marketplace. 所以这样子的话呢这样子的话当你听说代职侍奉这个词的时候你首先很容易产生一个观念就是我首先把我的工作放在第一然后到教会服侍放在第二放在其次
So when you heard about this phrase, you would think that I will put my work first, and I put to serve in church as the second place.
其实圣经刚才的教导是什么
But according to the Bible,
是反过来的是我们以侍奉为主，然后你在工作上面呢，其实也是侍奉。
It was saying that we put a servant as the first place.
而且你在公司的服侍呢，是其次的。
And the work that you have done in the company are the second.
同时也是在服侍神。
And you are also working for Lord.
所以如果你以后你到某一个公司有这种心态的话，那个老板就蒙福了。
So if you are going to a firm with this attitude, the boss will be benefited from that.
然后你也要蒙福。
And it will be really also beneficial for you too.
因为有神会加添智慧给你。
Because the God will give you wisdom.
所以我希望我们教会出去的大学生以后，在我们的服饰工厂上面，在我们的公司里面，不是好像是哎呦没办法，我是为了活命，混口饭吃而已，所以愁眉苦脸去上班。
And so I wish all the college students today will not work as if they only need the money to go to a work.
反过来，你有这样的心态，你每天 你把你的公司当成你的侍奉工厂。
On the contrary, if you view the company as a place to work for Lord,
你是天国的大使。
You will be the ambassador from the heavenly kingdom.
所以你能够很好的工作。
So you will be able to work really well.
老板可能要你做好一件事情，你可能能够做好两件事情。
You will probably get more than ask from the supervisors.
因为你想要荣耀神。
Because you want to honor God.
那这样的话，其实你的奖金也会多，是不是？
And this way you will get more paid.
所以，神给我们的智慧真的是蒙福的智慧。
So the wisdom from God is really gracious.
所以圣经教导我们今天怎么样管理好我们的时间，管理好我们的才干、金钱，很重要的原则是什么
？So the Bible teaches us the how to manage time, ability, and property.
就是耶稣的总结就是什么呢？首先要有比今生的比那个不义的管家更长远的眼光。
And Jesus was saying that we need to have even longer visions from that of the shrewd manager.
你有什么呢？永恒的世界观和价值观。
Because you have the values of from eternal life.
然后呢，因为你的那个长远的眼光不只是看到今生这几十年，你是看到永恒了。
Because your vision will not only look at the years that you will spend in this life, but also into the eternal life.
那这样的话，你就比今世之子岂不是更聪明了
？And in this world, you will be smarter than the people of the world.
那耶稣第二个总结就是，我们也要。有做很好的决定，做好更好的人生规划。
And the second point made by Jesus was that we need to make good decisions and to make good plans for the future.
你对工作的观念都改变过来了。
And you need to change your attitudes for work.
其次呢，就是说不定在我们中间以后，甚至被神呼召的人，你说有些人可能不是。侍奉代子，他可能是成为全时间的传道人。
And some of us may even get the callings from God to become a full-time missionary.
我在神学院见到很多这样的传道人。
I've seen a lot missionaries like that in a sense.
他们有 PhD， 结果跑到神学院来念 Master of Divinity。
They have a PhD degree, but they went to the seminars to learn the master of
divinity.
就是
他们的那个神学博士，他们的博士学位可能是电子学啊，或者是医学啊这样。
They might got the PhD degree from electrical engineering or medical school.
那到了神学院，他只拿了一个小小的master。
And they got a really trivial a master degree from the seminars.
真的，他们就是因为被神呼召，做全时间的。我的意思是这样的传道人。
And they did this because they received the callings from God.
那就是，其实如果我们神不是呼召你这样做传道人，那让你到去公司服务，或者是甚至创办公司，那。你也是全时间传道，刚才我们提了，是不是？因为你把你的那工作当成是你的侍奉的工厂嘛。
And even if God has not calling you in the way to full time to be a full time missionary, you can still work for Lord when you're at work or even to start your own company.
所以，如果真的有一天神呼召你，做这样的全时间的传道。那其实也是好的无比的。
So if God has called you to do a full-time gospel spreader, that will also be really good.
你说我现在没预备好，没关系。
You feel like I'm not prepared yet, that's okay.
我们只要稍微有一点点，先有一点准备就好。
As long as we have a little preparations for that.
两种准备都好。
Two kinds of preparations.
那我们先低头来祷告。
Let's pray together.
天父，我们感谢赞美你。
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your time.
谢谢你借着今天这短短的十三节经文告诉我们很重要的关于天国的价值观和世界观的道理。
Thank you for providing us the values from Heavenly Kingdom and in this short 13 verses from today.
这个价值观赐给我们比今生更长远的眼光。
The values gives us an even longer vision from what we can see from
这样的人生智慧。
The wisdom of life.
求你的话语进到我们的心里面。
We pray that your words can come into our hearts.
成为我们人生的指南。
And become the navigations of our life.
愿你的祝福就落实在我们每一个人的心中。
May your love grew roots in each every one of us.
愿你的旨意在我们每个人身上成就。
May you bless each and one of us.
愿你在我们每个人身上得着当得的荣耀。
I wish you give us all the honors that you have given us.
我们这样的祷告祈求是奉主耶稣基督得胜的名。
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.